Welcome to Podcast Insider. This is Mackenzie Bennett filling in for Todd Cochran, and Mike Dell is here as well.
Yeah, I am here from my plywood box in my backyard.
Yes, and I left my house to come to the studio at the office.
Yeah, so technically this week we're coming from Blueberry Studios because you're in the Blueberry studio in Columbus, and I'm in Blueberry North, I call it now. So
yeah, I guess so. I know, but I feel like I was just here for International Podcast Day, and before that I hadn't been in the studio since March or February. So
yeah, unfortunately it's not getting a lot of use, but that's all right. Got podcast movement coming up, and I'm sure somebody will be in there for that at some point. So
very good point.
Let's get into some news here. Podcast Academy has announced the awards they're going to do, and it's called the AMBYs, which seems an odd name, but...
I'm not going to lie. When I saw that name the other day, I thought to myself, we grabbed this opportunity for Podcast Academy, and that's the name we chose.
Well, I was hoping it was going to be like the Golden Mics or something, but
But right off the bat, I like that idea better.
Right. But anyway, it's the AMBYs is the name of it. And there's going to be 23 different categories that people can compete in. And there's a whole list of them. We'll have the link in the show notes. AMBYs, by the way, means ambient sound is what they're explaining it as. So, yeah. Sounds all right to me.
Still not.
Just interesting.
Fan of that ambient noise. All right. Moving on.
Moving on to, we're going to attempt to explain this without being too geeky. But the Podcast Index, which is a new thing that Adam Curry and Dave Jones are putting together as their Podcast 2.0 thing. And basically what they want to do is... We've talked about it, but what they want to do is not replace, but kind of back up the Apple API as another source of all podcasts out there. And as part of that, they came out with a new namespace for RSS. And I know your eyes are glazing over. Sorry. But basically what that is in RSS, there's some tags. Famously, Apple has a namespace. So like iTunes image is a tag in RSS. And iTunes this, iTunes that. Still called iTunes, even though Apple Podcast isn't called iTunes anymore. But I guess it's more complicated to change namespaces. Raw Voice, our company, has a namespace that we use internally for our directory, like location and a few other things. Well, this is a new one called Podcast. And the reason it's called Podcast is if it was called something that's proprietary to a company, a lot of app developers wouldn't implement it. But some of the cool things they're doing is they're going to have some piracy protection tags in there, which, you've heard us talk about, people can steal shows on Anchor. So what they do is they import a show into Anchor or other places. It's not just them. And, then that gets submitted to all the directories, and then you don't know whether you're getting the show from the actual producer.
The real one.
Yeah, the actual producer. Well, they're going to have these tags in there where you can sort of lock it. So, people that are like, say, Blueberry, for instance, when we implement the tags, we're going to be able to look at those tags when somebody imports into Blueberry. And if they've got it locked, then we can't import it without their permission, which is good because we don't want to pirate anything. Now, we have other checks that we put in place. So it's not like we've ever done that. But this is something, more programmatic. And, they're going to have other things. They're going to have an official location tag so you can tell, country of origin at least, which is handy for certain things. You could have an app on your phone that only shows podcasts from your country, which would be cool. And that tag will tell what country that originates from. So
is this only useful if all of the other podcast hosting companies implement these tags as well?
Yeah, and so far they've had really good luck. There's a whole list of companies that have committed to doing it. We're one of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a bunch of them. Captivate, I'm pretty sure Libsyn will. You know, a lot of the major ones will. And and let's hope Spotify/Anchor will do that as well. And I think they will, because it's a pretty generic namespace. So it's just something that, you know, it's free and open. But, yeah, I think it's a good plan. You know, we've been talking about RSS for a long time as far as, you know, we would like to add a few things. Like Todd famously loves or wants to put tags in there for transcripts and for closed captioning. Well, that's been adopted by this namespace. So pretty soon there'll be a tag, you know, once you're, you know, however, you know, we're going to do it in PowerPress and in Blueberry. But you'll be able to put in there a link to your transcript right there in the feed. And then apps that use that can just, you'll have a button that says transcript, and then you can read the whole transcript. So that'll be cool. You know, like I said, it's a little geeky, and we don't want to get too geeky.
It's just not really something that they have to think about. So
No. But there'll just be some more options when you publish your show to add more information that other apps can use. That's basically the gist of it. And speaking of more information, Google Podcast Manager, that's that thing that Google came out with a few months ago, you know, to give you a little more control of how your show is on Google Podcasts and a little more information about it. They're adding yet more information. So there's a whole new section that says how people find your show.
That seems useful, though.
Yeah, it's for Google search traffic, and you know, we're gonna in our best practices, we're gonna talk some more about search traffic and SEO and that kind of thing. But basically, it tells you, like, I'm looking at the one for this show, and you know, it says the top search terms. You know, Podcast Movement 2020 is our number one search term that people find Podcast Insider for. So that's interesting to know.
Kind of a surprise to me, honestly.
Yeah, Blueberry podcast platforms free. And we're not free, but okay. but, you know, there's the top, gives you the top 10. And actually, we had 32 search terms that people found our shows on. It shows the top discovered episodes. So our episode 210 seems to be the top found episode in a Google search over the last month or so.
From a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah. So, maybe a month ago, but yeah, so it gives you a little more, you know, a little bit more information.
I feel like people deserve that. Google is truly all-knowing in a disturbing way and give us information about our own stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So, hey, I found something that I had to jump on right away. there's a new thing called Night Buds coming out. It's a Kickstarter.
Yes.
And, well, they just started it 2 days ago. And their goal was $26,023. That's a weird.
It's insane how much money they got. I watched the promo video for it this morning, you know, like before we recorded this, and I watched it earn like $3,000.
Yeah, it's up to as of recording, it keeps cycling up, but it's at $330,808.
And that went up as you were saying it.
Yes, it did. But basically, it's up to almost to 331. Anyway, what it is it's a pair of wireless earbuds with a little pack thing, and it fits on your head in such a way that you could sleep with it. And not only does it play whatever you want to play on your phone, it has other things built into it, you know, like white noise if you want. You can do meditations, and it detects when you fall asleep, so then it'll pause whatever you're listening to after you fall asleep. And then it tracks your sleep. So you can tell, you know, in the morning you look at your app on your phone and you say, well, I slept, you know, 7 hours, this and that. And, you know, it's really slick. I think it'll be great. And obviously they've made more money than they've attempted to make so far on Kickstarter. So I think it's going to be a go.
I think so too. It seems pretty cool to me. I am not really a person that enjoys sleeping with something in my ears anymore, but I can see how this would be very popular with many, many people.
Yeah, and they built it in such a way that it's going to supposedly be comfortable, you know, to to sleep with. So we'll see. I fall asleep with earbuds in, and then I have to find them in the morning. But
yeah,
or they're wrapped around my neck. I had used wired ones, so I think it'll be nice. You won't have to set your sleep timer because it just knows when you fall asleep.
I know.
So, all right, here's a big one for some people. Spotify is going to let its podcast hosts include full songs in the shows. Now, I'm going to say podcast in quotes and air quotes and everything else, because anything that you put full licensed songs in can only be played on Spotify and within Anchor, the Anchor app. And that's so that Spotify can pay the artists, and, you know, licensed music is still hard to do in a podcast, an actual podcast. But, you know, for us, it'd be a Spotify exclusive thing. But if you want to get your DJ on, that's the way to do it.
So the Michelle Obama podcast was Spotify exclusive, but then they released it to other directories a couple weeks ago, about a month or so after it was all of the episodes came out. So I wonder how music would work with that.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to be able to release it. That's the problem. It's going to be a Spotify exclusive just because of the licensing. Spotify doesn't have the license, and neither do the podcasters, to play it on a regular podcast. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking of. Maybe they would still release the exclusives on the different platforms, but take out the music.
Yeah, that's possible sure. But, that would be kind of boring. Oh, here's this song, and then nothing. Yeah. And then, okay, that song was great. Let's play this song. And yeah, it'll be boring if they did that. But
I'm sure they would replace with something, but still.
Yeah, and interestingly, Michelle Obama's show is now an actual podcast. So I guess that maybe it wasn't getting as much traction just on the Spotify platform. I don't know.
Honestly, I'd be more inclined to think that they had that in planned.
Yeah, it could be as well. You never know. I'm kind of hoping that Rogan will go back to podcasting rather than Spotify exclusive, but we'll see. So far he's going to be just exclusive, and that starts on January 1st.
I mean, he signed that contract. I think he's going to keep his mouth shut until that contract is up.
Or at least he's got the check cashed. Anyway, so that brings us to our best practices. And I figured since you are co-hosting with me today, you know a lot about this SEO stuff and, doing blog posts, since you do most of the show notes blog posting for us for this show.
That I do.
And, you know, as we say all along, the Blueberry way, you got your own website. That's good for SEO. You know, the number one way people stumble on a podcast is a Google search. They're searching for a topic, and they find you because you're talking about that topic on your show. And if you write your show notes in such a way that is good for SEO, as Todd always says, write for Google and do your audio for your audience.
And yes. And to that point, as Google evolves, so do you when you're writing for Google.
Oh yeah, exactly. And you know, don't stuff it with keywords. There's a right way and a wrong way. A lot of people will try to stuff as many keywords in there and all that. You know, pick a couple and go with it. You know, we use Yoast SEO on Podcast Insider, and that gives you some tips and tells you whether it's good or not. And
it really just helps you highlight all of the things that you might not already be thinking of or just knowledgeable about in the first place. Because a lot of people, if they're just getting started and don't have any experience with this, might not know of what they're even capable of doing. So
right.
I would highly suggest Yoast.
Yeah, and we did an article about that over on Podcast Insider, so we'll have a link directly to that. But if you scroll down from this show on Podcast Insider, you'll see that article with a big SEO picture by it. Well, actually, kind of a little one. It's part of it, too, for page speed. You know, we've been doing a lot of talking about that internally here, and you know, putting big honking images can slow the page speed, which can hurt your SEO. Mm-hmm. So we've been posting thumbnails basically in the post, and then we use a bigger image for the featured image. And, you know, that keeps the page speeds decent. And there's a tool to check that. I don't remember where that is. If I find it, I'll make sure we get it in the show notes. But there's a tool where you can check your page speed. And, you know, you want to be somewhere in the, you know, above 50% anyway.
Yeah, you don't want to fail.
Yeah, and, you know, same thing, you know, you got to check it, how it looks on mobile. Google indexes via mobile. So, you know, you want to, you know, most browsers have a little thing called the inspector, and you can go in there and switch the screen size to see how it looks on mobile. And you know, that's another good thing to do. But the whole idea is, you know, write some decent show notes and, you know, make it readable to humans, but you know, write it as if you want Google to find it. And it's not just Google. There's other search engines, obviously, Bing and a couple other minor ones. But, you know, it's that's just the best practice. You really, really, really want to think about SEO on your website.
We specifically call out using complete sentences and straightforward language, not any like acronyms or anything that is, you know, something that just you would understand.
Yeah, proprietary stuff.
Yeah, Google really has to be able to understand it, or otherwise it's not going to matter, as well as having enough content, because having just a couple sentences is going to do you no good. You have to actually have typically between 250, 300 to 500 words or so.
Yeah, you don't want to, you know, because you put too much verbiage in there, that can be worse. You know, a lot of people want to put the whole transcript in there, and people don't talk like they write.
No.
And
no,
so
they don't.
So you'll have a lot of garbage words in there, and Google, that'll actually hurt your SEO mm-hmm. to have the full transcript as the show notes or the blog post for your show. You know, if you want to do a transcript, again, you know, you put a link to it right in there and do it like a PDF. And later on, when the new tags are implemented, you can just upload it somewhere and have it in the RSS feed. So anyway, anything else about SEO? Good things to do, bad things to do?
I'd say do it or don't do it at all. Try and do it appropriately in a way that it's actually going to help you, or just don't really bother.
Yeah, true. You know, because, you know, if you do it badly, it's going to hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like if people just go in without putting enough work into it, they're going to set themselves up for failure. So that's my only thing.
Okay. Well, very good. If you have any questions about SEO, let us know. You can of course, contact us, McKinsey at Blueberry, Todd at Blueberry, or Mike at Blueberry.com, spelled the weird way we spell it. Let's get into some Blueberry news. Keep talking about PowerPress and new versions and whatnot, and finally, PowerPress 8.4 beta is available. We'll have a link to the beta page where you can download it and give it a try. Not a lot.
Is there anything fun in that one?
Yeah. I mean, nothing particularly fun, except for it makes it a lot easier and more efficient to connect your show or connect your PowerPress to your Blueberry account. That's, you know, it's all a lot of back end stuff. You know, we still want to give it a good shakedown. It's, and there's a couple little features in there that, you might find interesting, but nothing earth-shattering yet, but we got some stuff coming.
Yeah.
And let's see, Vernon and I are going to be doing a couple of webinars tomorrow.
Yeah, you're busy tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, on Friday. So if you're listening to this later, it's going to be on the following Friday too, but we're talking about the one tomorrow on the 16th. 10 a.m. for business and 11 a.m. for indie podcasters. We're going to be talking about our private internal podcasting.
And if I were, like, if I was not involved in this, I would definitely attend one of them at least, just because the way that companies can handle private podcasting can definitely vary. So if you're interested, this is the perfect opportunity to actually learn the ins and outs.
Yeah. And for you indies, you know, if you ever wanted to give bonus content or, you know, have a membership program where, you know, only certain people can listen to your bonus content, or you want to start out a show that that people have to pay for, this is a way to do it. So come check that out. We'll have the link in the show notes. We keep saying that. What would be a good way of putting that so we don't always say that? Anyway, come to podcastinsider.com. You'll have everything there. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, congratulations to Michael Heron of Mikey Pod.
Yes, he was our most recent podcaster of the month for October. I originally actually reached out to him in September to see if he wanted to be featured because he's been podcasting for 15 years now, and he's been with Blueberry the entire time. So I wanted to include him for our anniversary, our 15th anniversary. But we reached out to a couple people and someone else responded. So I wanted to keep him around because he's definitely been involved in the community.
Yeah, he started out about the same time I did, a little bit after Todd did. And he's, you know, he was one of the first shows I listened to. And you know, just like my personal show, you know, it evolved over the years. You know, he started doing one thing and then switched it up. But, you know, he used a pretty generic name so he could do that. And he's been at it for 15 years and hopefully another 15. Why not?
Yeah, he seems pretty happy in that he changed, I think, with COVID that he, or it might have been before that, has been interviewing guests every single episode. So he's been able to transition a little bit. So check it out.
Yeah. So that brings us to the interview. And Todd interviewed Stacy Mack. And she's got a podcast called The Grateful Badass.
So I'm a big fan of her actual name and the name of her podcast.
There you go. So I didn't listen. I didn't pre-listen to the interview, so I'm sure it's really good because they always are. So we'll play that right here.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, I want to welcome Stacy Mack to Podcast Insider. She's got the Grateful Badass podcast. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Todd. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. So we were talking just a little bit before I hit record here, and tell us the audience a little bit about your show. I guess your background and just a little bit about the show itself.
Well, sure. I will try and start from the beginning. I started with a sort of a lifestyle blog, decided to name it Grateful Badass. The tagline has always been grateful living, badass style, living life in it with gratitude, with a flair and sense of excellency. And so as a blog was started, I felt like, okay, what's the way that I can get in more readers, increase the readership or whatnot and audience? And my daughter actually recommends starting a podcast. So there, 2017, I ventured off into the lane of podcasting. And so the podcast is sort of tied to the blog and gratefulbadass.com. And so it just focuses on living life with air, as I say, to live in life with the air of gratitude, which is very key to me, to be sure to remember, especially in this time, pandemic season and pandemic, everything that we're going through and still in and what we've been through for the prior months, is to live life and remember a sense of gratitude and what we have presently. And so I think that sort of gives life a sense of meaning, more so to remember what it is that you do have and to also remember to give to others. And so the podcast actually has a sense of service. And so we have guests on. Sometimes I have solo shows and I may talk about social justice issues. I may talk about things that may be on my mind just to share, because it's also a place where I go on and share My life as a Black woman living as a single parent of two children, living through the pandemic. I live in New York City, so it was very interesting during that time. And so the podcast is sort of a space where I can share and also bring on guests who are also doing badass things in all avenues, actually. Recently, we had an indie author series for September. Next month, we're focusing on women in business, small business owners. And so that's what we've done. We 1 month we celebrated LGBTQ during the month of June, Pride Month. So it kind of varies. And just we want to focus on people who are doing awesome things in the world today.
You know, it's interesting because you and I have some parallels in that I was a blogger before I was a podcaster. And there's, believe it or not, there's not that many of us.
But I still enjoy blogging, and I do try to write a piece or maybe have a guest to write a piece once a week.
Yeah, that's good. So that's good part of your SEO strategy and driving people, having Google have something to eat to drive people to your website. So that's,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, and I wasn't a very good blogger. I ended up being a better podcaster than I was a blogger, but I think it just allows us to have this great, sometimes it's better to write something, sometimes it's better to say it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it works both ways. So
interesting that you say that, because you were about to say something?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Sometimes let's just say the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So I was thinking about doing a show, just focusing on her life, a solo show. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll just write about it. And so that's what I decided to do. So I kind of used the podcast and the blog interchangeably, but I really do enjoy podcasting.
Yeah.
I left that part out. When I started 3 years ago, I have over 100 episodes currently. I realized, hey, I like doing this. I wasn't certain to start.
So it's interesting then, the genesis story really was your daughter kind of said, let's go do this, or mom, go do that.
She sure did. And she likes to take that credit. She likes to remind me of that. She was what? She was 14.
Oh.
At the time, and she likes to remind me of that. And interesting enough, she helped me with Blueberry, and she helped me just get it everything. Obviously, we know teenagers are more tech savvy, right? Well, than myself. And so she helped me get everything started. It has been a big help.
So I'm kind of curious, what kind of podcast, and this is off the topic of your show, but what kind of podcast was she listening to at 14?
You know what? She was in the land of YouTubing. Uh-huh. I think from that, you know, they love YouTube,
sure,
age group, right?
Yep.
So I think somehow, that's a good question, Todd. I'm not really sure how she was familiar with podcasting, but she knew about it. But anything regarding to, you know, social media, they know.
Yeah. Since the beginning of the pandemic, I've been big on YouTube too. So I don't know why. I've been just watching all kinds of crazy series. But anyway, so coming back to your show, The Grateful Badass Podcast. I love that name. I really, really do. And by the way, that domain name is fantastic. You scored a great domain name at gratefulbadass.com.
Thank you so much.
So what then, you know, we all are looking for to get our message out to people that, you know, our listeners. So how has that journey been so far? What's the feedback you're getting from your audience, and how's that went in growing your show?
Right. You know, I think the badass part people really, really like, and it gives them, when they listen to the episodes, and I share on all my social media channels, and all, you know, professional and personal, I reach out to everyone. But I think they like the air and sense of being able to just go for it, because that's what the badass part is about. Just not caring what people think about. And so just hearing me reiterate during the episodes with myself and with guests, it reiterates for my audience that they can be a badass too.
Right.
I'm a badass. You are a badass. And we all can do this thing. And so, so what I mean in that is that if they have an idea to start a business, if they have an idea to write a book, then what's holding them back? So my podcast episodes remind them that they can do whatever it is that they want to do.
Are the majority of your guests women?
You know what? That's not intentional, but yes, they have been. So I'm on a quest to seek out, to change that up a little bit.
You know, I'm grateful that you're in the podcasting space, because when podcasting started in 2004, it was there wasn't a lot of ladies around, and there was even fewer women of color around. So over the past 5 years, we've seen this huge insurgence of women that are doing podcasts. We've seen women of color doing podcasts. And to be honest with you, I know that the sector that's missing is the men. Some of the men are doing sports shows and that type of stuff, which is kind of stereotypical. But we need to get the guys in just sharing.
I totally agree. And I have an upcoming series in November, of course, to talk about the election.
Yeah.
And I would like, I have everyone who's responded as a guest for that month to talk about, you know, what, because it's going to be interesting.
Sure.
Exactly. There have been women, and I feel like I need to say, guys, hey, come on in. You care about the election, too. We need to hear from you. So
yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
So I think from that perspective, though, you.
Sorry about the news.
It's okay. It's city, and this is a podcast, so it's okay.
Okay,
you know, probably someone's out. Probably what happened is someone brushed up against a car, and
absolutely, that's what happens. Yes.
So, are you in Brooklyn, or whereabouts of the city are you at?
I'm in Uptown Manhattan.
Wow, you live right in Manhattan.
I am. It gets a little noisy at times, but you know, it's the city.
Yeah, one of my team members lives in Brooklyn and then comes into the city as a co-working space down in the meatpacking district. So he's down there.
I do enjoy Brooklyn. Yes.
Yeah. So from your, then what is the feedback then? I guess you're having these great guests, and what are your audience saying to you? Do you feel you're changing lives, making impact on people?
Yes, absolutely. Interesting enough that you asked, I have actually seen a lot of my listeners, they report to me that they're starting businesses and they are going on social media and they're starting cooking shows and they are starting whatever it is in their hearts that they have a passion to do, that they're just going out and doing it. And they kind of keep me abreast of these things, and it makes me feel really wonderful. And then another thing with my podcast, I feel as though it's an area of connection as well. So it's its own little sort of networking community, if you will.
Do you have a lot of New York listeners, or are they all over the country?
They are all over the country because I am originally from the South. So my listeners are from New York. My listeners are from Tennessee and Georgia. I've lived in Texas, so they kind of, I've lived mostly on the East Coast, but I have a couple of friends on the West Coast as well. So I think it's sort of nationwide.
With you living right in the city, life can be busy. And of course, with COVID, things have changed and people aren't necessarily going to the office. But how is your podcast and being able to do the show during this time of craziness that we've been living the past 6, 7, 8 months?
Absolutely. You know, honestly, Todd, at the height of the pandemic, New York City in March was pretty, it was a lot. It was a lot. We were going through just an incredible time. So I have to say my shows did lapse a little bit only because of my mental health and sanity.
Sure.
And so after I got abreast of what was going on, honestly, many people in my circles lost family and friends. And so it just took some time and just to sort of regroup. It took about maybe 4 to 6 weeks. And after that time, I'm like, okay, this is what we need to do. I'm home. I have a better grasp of my schedule. And so I poured into it. And that's exactly what happened.
So,
and interesting enough, in conjunction with the blog, my daughter and I, who recommended the podcast, we started writing daily notes. And so I incorporated that.
Wow.
Daily quarantine notes. So I incorporated that into the podcast, and we also turned it into a book, believe it or not, which releases October 20th.
Okay.
Yes, it's called Grateful as Ever Daily Quarantine Notes.
So it was you wrote notes on what you were grateful for during the quarantine?
Absolutely. We wrote notes. They're called Daily Quarantine Notes. And actually from March 7th, over the course of 100 days, we wrote daily notes as a manner of mental health, just maintaining our sanity, because it was pretty crazy in the city. It took a while to calm down. And as you may hear in the news, we're just reopening a lot of different spaces, interesting enough. Like restaurant and dining and such. But so we wrote notes on just how to stay sane, or how we're staying sane. Read a book, listen to that album that you haven't listened to. So every day from March 17th all the way to mid-June, we wrote notes and shared them on the blog and also on the podcast. And nearly a month or two ago, we decided to publish those notes. But they're on the blog all the way back from March 17th, nearly every day, Monday through Friday.
I bet you that got kind of deep, didn't it?
It did. It did. But it was just something. You know what? What happened in quarantine is just every day, as you probably remember yourself, everything, every day was the same.
It was Groundhog Day.
Tuesday, yep. Friday, yep. Sunday. It didn't matter. It felt the same. So it gave us a sense of something to look forward to.
Yeah, I feel like I'm almost still living that, you know, almost a little
Absolutely.
Bit, you
yes.
know, and yes, I'm in Michigan. Yeah, I'm in Michigan. We've opened up quite a bit, but still, it just feels weird. But going back to your show, then this is a question that I always try to get you to go deep on. Sure. What have you gotten out of the podcast or doing the show yourself?
Yes, absolutely. That I can do this. I have it's over 103 episodes, and now don't get me wrong. It wasn't easy learning how to the technical part of podcasting. And that I can do some things that I thought I may not be able to do, you know, and I can offer space and a voice for badass women and men. And that makes me feel good. That absolutely makes me feel good, because I recently had a guest on the show. One thing it's done for me is increase my connection with just people and other human beings, especially, which is crucial during this time. I connected with one of my guests for a set for next month. She has a small business, and I have not talked to her in nearly, we went to high school together. Hadn't spoken with her maybe, well, no, I take that back. She was in New York a couple of years ago, but prior to that, I hadn't spoken to her in maybe, 20 years or so. So it was a matter of being able to catch up, find out what she's doing, and just that. Now, that felt really, really good, which does good for me, my heart. Yes, absolutely.
So it's interesting, because your response is a little bit unique. Most people say, "Oh, I got something out of this guest, and I got something out of this person, and it helped me grow." But you said, "I can do this," and that really struck me. Awesome. Did you feel when you first started podcasting then that, ooh, this is going to be too hard, or what made this transition now to make you say, "I can do this"?
Well, what happened was, is though, you know, when you start something new, you sort of kind of read reviews out there and on the internet, and some people describe it this way or that way, and maybe they podcasted for three episodes and stopped.
Yeah,
that was a bit scary, and I was like, wait, why is that the case? But then now at the beginning I see why that's the case, because it is not easy, and I think the tedious part of it is really that weekly shows. My shows drop on Friday, but that Friday comes along really quickly. And so you have to plan your shows well in advance. And that's what I've been doing now, which helps me greatly. But I say I can do this is because, you know, I have a full-time job as well. So this is my side time. This is like a side love. And it's not easy. And it's still not easy.
Right.
The part I have the technical part down. I have that down pat. But the part now is just making time and getting, when I have a guest scheduled for a certain time, just making sure I get it done. And batch recording helps.
Right. And I've heard a lot of people using batch recording. That way you can get two or three interviews knocked out within a morning or an afternoon. Do you find, though, when you're doing those batch recordings that on interview three, you're kind of running out of gas? Or how is your energy level able to stay up across?
That's a good question. So I don't schedule more than maybe two over a weekend. So I batch record over a weekend.
Okay.
So I may have one Friday afternoon, like we're talking now, and I may have two on Saturday and two on Sunday, something like that. So therefore, I don't want to give one guest 100% and then the next 60%. So that in that vein, I make sure I don't overload myself.
Yeah, I found myself last Wednesday or this week during International Podcast Day.
Exactly.
I hit a wall, And yes. Rob Greenlee and I were doing a show together, and I was a scatterbrain. And I apologized to the audience and Rob after. I said, I took on too much today. I was too busy, and I wasn't able to give the audience the attention that they deserve. So I think it's good to kind of spread those out. I know people that do 2-3 in a row. I don't know how they really do it, to be honest with you.
No, I don't have that gas level for that.
Yeah.
Plus, I have to get up my daily walks. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, for me, it's another Red Bull, and that's never healthy.
Mine is a daily walk to help get my energy back up.
So let's talk a little bit more about some of the guests you've had on your show and some of the topics you've covered, because it sounds like you've planned around themes about Pride Month, and you're going to do something in November about the election. So has that been your focus, is how you've structured the show, as you do 4 episodes on a specific topic for the month?
Well, that's something new that I decided to do starting I had a hiatus in August while I did sort of reruns, and then that's when I started planning. So September was when I decided, okay, you're going to do themes. Now, I've always done themes, but it may look like 2 solos and 2 guests, right? Something like that. But still, over the course of a theme, it may be like, just say February, Black History Month or something like that. Sure. And I bring on artists that, you know, that are really good guests for that particular Black History Arts or something like that, music, entertainment, films. But now I decided to do 4, particularly maybe 3 to 4 guests per theme monthly, and see how that goes. So it's sort of kind of something new.
Here's an informal survey for you. Do you find that your audience, do you have more download numbers on solo shows or more download numbers on shows that you have a guest?
You know, it's actually about the same. It is, you know, because I have paid attention, because I was wondering, it's actually about the same. The only time it wasn't is I had a person in the city who's running for city council. She's come for 2021. So her, of course, you know, all her supporters, it just went through the roof.
Sure.
Her show did. But typically, there may be a 5 to 10% uptick when I have a guest. But then it's pretty consistent when I'm on by myself.
Yeah, I see.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I thought I was going to do, that's why I said 3 to 4, because I thought I was going to do 4 guests per month. And then I was like, wait, it seems like they still want to hear from just me as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, because Rob and I do solo shows, or it's just him and I. Okay. Those shows often get more downloads than the shows when we bring in a big name. It's really weird.
That is.
Yeah. So so that's why I asked for the informal poll.
That's a good question, because I have to remind myself also to pay attention to the numbers, because sometimes I get it in my head to do what it is that I have in mind to do. And I'm like, wait, I need to check and see what the listeners want.
Don't worry about the numbers. Just take the audience feedback and do what you want to do. That's what keeps you. That's what's going to keep you happy.
Absolutely. Just as it has been.
You know, and I tell my listeners all the time, when this is no longer fun, I'm done.
You know what? Absolutely. I have a list of things on my bucket list. So when this is no longer fun for me, I will move on to something else.
Yeah. So that's good. I like that. I like that attitude and that, because, you know, life is too short. Why do something that this is not supposed to be a job. This is supposed to be something that we enjoy doing. Unless for a lot of independent content creators, this is a hobby and an enjoyment, but it's not. Some people, it's a professional, you know, life where they have to do it.
But I think
the majority of us out there do this for fun and for the audience. Any life changing things from the show?
Life changing. What do you mean? What do you mean?
So you talked to someone and then had an interview and had a conversation, and you talked about being grateful and talking to badasses. And then all of a sudden someone said, you've changed my entire perspective on things. I need to change.
Well, let me tell you one. I have to think a little bit more. I'm sure it's happened, but I can't single one in particular episode. But I can tell you this. On a recent recording on a show that's coming up this month, I asked a question, and the guest actually teared up at the question. And I felt like, wow. She's like, oh, I'm getting really emotional. And I was like, I can hear it in your voice. Right. And that made me feel just wonderful to be able to touch someone in that matter.
Yeah.
For a podcast show.
Yeah. That's when it gets real.
Sort of similar to what you're asking. I felt like it just put that person in touch with some things that really meant a lot to her.
You know, I've had a couple of interviews on this show where we talked with podcasters. And I can think in my, you know, going back a couple of, and I was like, wow, this podcaster, and it was a woman, she was down in Australia, said she is really doing powerful things. And I was really blown away by her podcast. So we all have those moments, I think, when we're doing shows, when we not only reach deep into a guest and get a reaction like that, but I hope that you'll have a moment where a podcast listener will say, Stacy, oh my goodness. And I listened to that episode and I had a life-changing event. And those are the things we live for.
Yes, I'm sure it may have already happened, and I'm looking forward to it. And I think it has, and maybe an audience or listener didn't tell me exactly in those words, but I felt it in what they were sharing.
Yeah, so how is the feedback? Are you getting plenty of feedback from the audience, or is it just like any other podcast where it dribbles in little by little?
It does dribble in little by little. I'm trying to get my reviews up because I'm on iTunes. I want to hear more from people there. But I have to admit, I kind of forget to remember to ask people to give reviews. You know, if you don't ask for them, you won't get them.
That's right.
You won't get them. But they also give a lot of comments on my social media channels when I post on Instagram or for Facebook or whatever it is, or Twitter.
Yeah.
So they share that they enjoy. They are enjoying. They are a listener and they are enjoying the show.
Yeah. Sometimes we forget to ask them, what do you think? What's your opinion? You know, drop me an email or whatever it may be, or mention on social media.
Absolutely. I need to do better there.
So the GratefulBadAssPodcast.com, or is it GratefulBadAss.com?
It is.
For the Grateful Badass Podcast, 100 plus episode, 3 years. And living a life of excellency and generating a good attitude, right?
Yes, an attitude of gratitude.
Attitude of gratitude. Oh.
Yes. Excellence in gratitude with excellence.
Outstanding. I think everyone should go over and check her show out, get subscribed to it. It sounds to me like you have a very unique and diverse amount of content. So it's something new every month. So if it's like if you're not necessarily interested in a specific topic, maybe next month you're going to have something on that people tune into. So I think that's where you're going to find success here, is because you're mixing it up, and it allows you to also explore stuff that you want to explore as the host. So pretty exciting.
I think so, Todd. I'm enjoying the different things because I have a lot of different interests, you know. I like to read and I also like films. So we're going to explore it all.
We need to be back in the movie theaters to see it on the big screen.
Tell me about it. You know, I like Netflix, but I'm getting sort of tired of Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix and chill's getting a little old. That's why I've been switching to YouTube series. That's kind of, you know, I shouldn't even say that as a podcaster.
Absolutely. I had a one night when I was on YouTube and I was watching films, documentary films. So I went from RBG to Marvin Gaye. You know, if you stay on, it'll keep bringing it to you.
That's right.
So, yes.
for some reason, I got YouTube thinks I need to see survival shows for some reason. I don't know why, but that's what they keep putting in front of me. So
they know something you don't see.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. So, Stacy, what's the best way they can contact you if people want to reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. They can reach out and email me at business@gratefulbadass.com, or just tune in or check out the website, gratefulbadass.com, and there's a contact page there as well. And also, I'm on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter @gratefulbadass.com. And there's also on Instagram a Grateful Badass Podcast IG channel. For all the episodes are there.
Best domain name, I think, so far on this show. I
love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a good one, and it's easy to remember.
Well,
stay safe in New York. Thanks for coming on the show. We definitely appreciate having you on, and look forward to seeing you have much success with your podcast. And thanks for being a Blueberry customer. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Todd. Have a good day and take care.
Stacy, thanks.
All right. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, well, thanks, Todd, for getting that interview, and thanks, Stacy, for being interviewed. So one last geeky thing before we're out of here, and we'll try not to make this too geeky.
Yeah, you might have to explain this one to me a little bit just to make sure I'm thinking about the correct type of caching, because I think I do know what it is.
Well, there's all kinds of caching on the internet, and caching is the bane of my existence in support.
It always is.
Well, what it is, okay, we're going to talk specifically about, websites, and that's where RSS feeds come from, regardless of what service you're with, but, in particular, WordPress. But like I said, this is not specific to WordPress. This is everything on the internet is cached in one way or another. What a cache is, so you're probably familiar with the browser cache, which is like on whatever browser, if you're on Chrome or Safari or whatever. Say you go to a website and then you go back to that website. Instead of re-downloading the whole thing, it takes a copy of it from your hard drive because it caches it. It puts a copy on your hard drive. So, well, it's a lot faster to pull it from your hard drive than it is to pull it through the internet. So it just pops up immediately. And the problem with that is say that website changed. And if that website changed and it's still pulling your copy from your hard drive, it only shows the old version that's not changed. Well, that can also happen on the web server side. So say your website, you publish your new episode, and for whatever reason, your server doesn't clear its cache. Because, an RSS feed in most cases is generated as soon as, whenever somebody or something hits it. Says, hey, I'd like to get, check this RSS feed. Is anything new? And there's a copy on the web server that it doesn't have to generate. It just serves it. Boom. Real quick. And if you add an episode or say you change your artwork or you change the title of your show or you update your show notes, say you typoed something and you went in and edited it, that may not get to the feed immediately that is cached. And the problem with that is some of the systems, they don't update automatically or they don't clear automatically when you publish a new post, a new episode. And that frustrates the heck out of people because, of course, Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, all the rest of them aren't going to get it.
It sends people into a panic very quickly.
Right. And they're like, I published it. It's not there. Oh, my gosh. The world's coming to an end. And first thing we'll ask in support is, first we'll look at the feed. And we'll say, the last episode. Yeah. And we'll say, the last episode I see in the feed is this. Is that correct? And they'll say, no, I published one 4 hours ago. What's going on? Well, you're stuck in cache. We have ways in the browser, and I won't get too geeky, that we can bypass that cache. Okay. And we can look at it, the uncached version of it. And if we see that episode there, then we instruct them to clear your cache. And the problem is there's so many different caching systems. So there's no one, A, B, C, do A, do B, do C. You sometimes have to search around. But so learn about your web server and find out where that caching is. It could say clear, purge, delete, empty. There's 100 different ways that it'll say it. Could say performance. Because what the caching does is it speeds up the web server. Okay. And like I said, hopefully it didn't get too geeky, but that's just one thing that if you get some time and you want to learn a little more about the geeky and, say you're having trouble with Apple not updating.
Yeah, who's more likely to have trouble with this? People that publish very soon after one another nothing like that?
Yeah, there's no particular thing. And like I said, it's not just WordPress that does that. It's any website could have caching on it. In WordPress itself, there's plugins for caching. A lot of them, like W3 Super Cache, and there's just a bunch of them. There's also services out there such as Cloudflare and, a lot of things like that. Our podcast mirror service is a feed caching service.
That took me
Yeah.
Honestly, longer than like an embarrassing amount of time for me to truly get.
Yeah, it's a thing where we take a copy of your feed when you publish, and then we reserve it from our servers. That keeps all that load off of your server if mm-hmm. you want to. And it's also handy for other things, but that's the main purpose of it. And all that stuff has to update before Apple and Google, Stitcher, your subscribers, whatever, is going to update. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we won't beat that dead horse too much, but if your feed isn't updating, look for caching. That's a lot of the time, that's going to be the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're on a service, like if you're on blueberry.com and publishing right from us, we automatically purge your feed's cache when you publish. So that usually clears within a couple of minutes, and then you can go look at your feed and see that the episode's right there. And then once it's there, then it can be pulled by everybody else.
Right.
And notice I said pull, but we beat that dead horse enough too. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this one. Thanks for being here, Mackenzie.
I know. It was nice to actually do this in the studio. All the ones that I've joined since we got sent home have been in my living room, and they didn't sound very good. So here I am.
Your earbuds don't sound too bad, though. You know, we got by.
Yes.
You know, anything in a pinch, as long as it's not painful to listen to, it's good enough. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and I'd like to thank Kate and her team over at Blueberry Pro for making us sound smarter.
As always, thankful to Kate.
Yes. All right. We'll catch you later.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.